Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Told you it was going to be a good Monday, and it has been a good Monday so far. And we continue now with Dr. Edward Sree, who I'm sure you know from his various productions and books and for EWTN and in many other places. He also speaks around the world, so you might have seen him in person. And I'm sure it was perfect to see him in person. He's a founder and leader, along with Curtis Martin, of FOCUS, the Fellowship of Catholic University Students, where he is now the vice president for mission. Is that right? For formation. Dr. Edward Sree, thanks for being here with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
We're going to talk about the Stations of the Cross, and you're welcome to call with your questions. I know many, many people love to talk with Dr. Sree, so go ahead and call now if you have a question coming on, 888-318-7884. Is the primary place where you've written about the Stations of the Cross in your book, No Greater Love, The Biblical Walk Through Christ's Passion?
Well, that's where I write about the Passion. I have this book here that I wrote called Pocket Guide to Stations of the Cross. It really is meant to kind of rekindle this important devotion, you know, for the next generation. You know, it's so important that we pray the Stations. We have the cross on our mind and on our heart. So I wrote this book. It came out last year, and it has biblical reflections on each of the 14 traditional Stations of the Cross, and also reflections for the 14 biblical stations that St. John Paul II gave us. And it also includes a lot of, you know, some of the history of the devotion, but most of all, practical ways to pray it creatively in our modern busy era. So that's probably the part that I hear most feedback on, is people like, this has been helpful to help me enter into the stations again.
888-318-7884. If you have questions on the Stations of the Cross, you are very welcome to call. The reason I started asking you about this book was, my understanding is you actually have a mini-series running this week on EWTN about this book. Is that this week?
Yeah, that's right. I just heard about this. I knew that there was something going on at EWTN, and then it was just this last week that I actually found out that they're running the series on it. So it's a program that I've done with Ascension Press. It's been used as Bible studies, a video-based Bible study that was filmed in Jerusalem, where I'm walking through all the different sites of Christ's Passion, from the Garden of Gethsemane to Caiaphas's house to the Way of the Cross and all the way to Calvary. So you get, you know, doing biblical teaching, but on location at the very places where Christ's Passion unfolded. So that's been around for a couple of years. I know a lot of parishes and men's groups and women's groups have used it for their small group studies. But I just found out that they're airing it on EWTN, which is great. It'll get out to more souls and bless them. A lot of people can't get the Holy Land, so it's a great chance for them to actually visualize it and get a virtual pilgrimage, if you will.
Again, if you'd like to talk with Dr. Sree, I want to keep giving out the number so that you know that you are welcome to call here. Whether you're Catholic or not, you're welcome to call if you're curious about the Stations of the Cross, 888-318-7884. The most obvious thing to ask is about the fact that there are two sets of the Stations of the Cross. So maybe we can talk about that first before we dig into the beauty of the devotion. It's an old, ancient devotion. Why do we have a new version of it?
Well, I mean, we still have the traditional version of it, right? So that, I want to be clear, that's probably what most people are going to be familiar with, is the Stations of the Cross that are in our churches all around the world. Every Catholic church is supposed to have, you know, a small symbol, or it could be elaborate, but some kind of representation of the stations in it to really make the cross the center of our very Catholic life. But John Paul II, during his pontificate, he gave us a fresh take on the Stations of the Cross, and he called it the biblical stations. The reason being, you know, when it says that Jesus fell three times, on the way to Calvary, that's a great tradition, and it very well may have been that case, that there were three times, but it's not in Scripture, or the story of Veronica is not in Scripture, and yet there's other elements of the Passion of Christ and his journey to Calvary that are in the Bible and weren't included in the traditional ones. So it's just, I like both of them. I like to be able to contemplate both of them. So for example, the biblical stations Jesus gives us includes the garden in Gethsemane, you know, his agony in the garden, which is that's the real beginning. That's when he surrenders his life. Father, you know, may I do your will and not my own, you know, and he commits himself to the Passion. And then you can contemplate the story of Jesus being betrayed by Judas. I mean, that was a big, significant moment in his life and in the Passion story. One of his own apostles betraying him. And then you can also contemplate the third biblical station. Jesus is condemned by the Sanhedrin. You know, we talk about Pilate, and, you know, Pilate certainly is a key player in what happens on Good Friday. But in the traditional 14 stations, you don't contemplate the Jewish leaders, the chief priests and the Pharisees, and their envy of Jesus, and they're mocking Jesus. And then there's another station, like the fourth station, Peter denies Jesus three times. And these are wonderful parts of the Passion story we should also be contemplating and reflecting on. So if you want to do it from a biblical perspective, you can do the more modern JP2, biblical stations of the cross. But I still think the traditional ones, you know, are also so valuable, and those are the ones that are in our churches. And we want the cross on our mind, on our heart, on our lips, not just in Holy Week, not just in Lent, but our entire lives is all about the cross. And we want to be contemplating this to encounter the love of God in our lives more.
Again, 888-318-7884, the number, talking about the stations of the cross. I want to ask you about that, though. This is sometimes an accusation against Catholicism that it's such a bloody and violent religion right at its core. And you say we want to always have the cross on our mind and our heart and our lips. And we do. But why? What is the point of focusing so much spiritual, intellectual, emotional energy on the cross of Jesus?
And it's because the cross isn't just about blood and scourging and nails going through a hand. It's ultimately about love. This is something St. John Paul II emphasized, that in the cross we have the fullest revelation of God's love. I love what Pope Benedict said. Pope Benedict said that God is a lover with all the passion of a true love. And so we think about the passion of Jesus Christ. It comes from the Latin word passio, which means suffering. But Pope Benedict beautifully saw that we can also take in the modern understanding of passion. And he says God is a passionate lover. He's so in love with us that he just wants to be one with us. And even though we've turned away from him in sin, he still seeks us out. He becomes one of us. He enters into our messiness, into our suffering, most especially on Good Friday. And he offers the perfect gift of love to the Father. So in the cross, we want to look at the cross because we want love. That's what I would say. We want love. And I look at the cross and it doesn't just show us God's amazing love for us. It also shows us the great love God wants to work in our own hearts. In other words, when we look at the cross and we see this amazing faithfulness of Jesus, we see his courage, we see his mercy, we see his forgiveness, we see him trusting the Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. We see such amazing love. But we're not just supposed to sit back and, you know, just admire it. You know, Jesus doesn't just want our applause. He wants our hearts. And this is the distinctive feature, I think, particularly of Catholic Christianity, is Catholicism emphasizes that Jesus, what he does on the cross, he didn't do so we don't have to. No, no, what he does on the cross is revealing not only his amazing love for us, but the love he wants to write on our hearts. He wants us to live this amazing love. And so when I look at the cross, I see the model for how I could be a better husband. I look at the cross and I see the ways I need to be willing to do difficult things for the sake of my wife and my children, for my family. I look at the cross and I see, you know, how many times Jesus is forgiving. And as a father, forgive them, they know not what they do. And you think about in marriage, how many times we hurt each other. But it's not usually because, you know, your spouse wakes up on Monday morning and says, how can I frustrate my husband today? You know? No, it's like we don't know what we're doing, right? And I look at the cross and it's reminding me to be more gentle, to be more patient with my wife, with my kids, with my friends and their faults and imperfections. When I see how patient Jesus was with me, when I see Jesus trusting the Father completely, you know, at the last word he says on Calvary, into your hands I commit my spirit, it challenges me. To look at, you know, I don't trust the Father as much as I should. You know, I don't want to put my entire life in his hands. I do, but there's parts of me that says, oh no, I want to control this part of my life. I'm afraid to surrender this aspect, and I don't trust him as much as I should. So when I look at the cross, I see such perfect love, but I also see the gaps in my own lack of love. And that's why I want the cross on my mind all the time. And, you know, I find in Lent, I'm praying the stations all the time. Like I could go for a walk. I'm walking through an airport and I'm praying the stations because I just want that story of Jesus's perfect love on my mind so that I can live that perfect love with my wife, Beth, with my kids better, with my friends, my colleagues better, with the poor better. It's so much better to have that on my mind than, you know, whatever's trending on social media or what's on ESPN or whatever. Yeah. Not that those things are bad, but what I fill with my mind with is going to be the great model for what I aspire to. And I want the cross of Jesus, that perfect love, always on my mind.
Dr. Edward Sree is our guest. Your calls are welcome. And there are just a couple lines open, but if you dial now, you can get in with your question, 888-318-7884. Talking about that beautiful Catholic tradition of the Stations of the Cross, a tradition so near the heart of the Church. You are welcome to bring your questions, 888-318-7884.
There's only one Catholic Answers Live.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Save the date. Saturday, August 26th is the day, and Birmingham, Alabama is the place for the 2023 EWTN Family Celebration. We're celebrating Mother Angelica's love for the Eucharist, and join us to mark the centennial year of Mother's birth. Make your plans now to attend this free event. More details coming soon at our Family Celebration webpage, ewtn.com/family celebration.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. It's striking wherever you go folks know Dr. Edward Sree and his wonderful work, in part because of FOCUS, the Fellowship of Catholic University Students, but in large part too because he's tireless in sharing the message of Christ's passion all over the world and using just about every kind of media. It's something we admire here because it's something we aspire to do here at Catholic Answers. Your call's welcome, 888-318-7884. Carrie gave me the ad. I got to read it. Hundreds of great books are now on sale at shop.catholic.com, as well as online courses, ebooks, digital videos, and items such as rosaries and scapulars and so much more, all on sale for the big Final Four sale at catholic.com, shop.catholic.com. Head over to shop.catholic.com to get all those good deals, including on the new books that are out. The spring books are very good this year. The crop of spring books has come up beautifully this year at Catholic Answers Press. So check it all out. It's on sale now at shop.catholic.com. We are talking about the Stations of the Cross. And perhaps you have questions about a particular station or a particular part of the devotion, or maybe a more general question about how to incorporate the devotion into your life. 888-318-7884. Dr. Sree, the likely thing, I think, is, and I know we have talked about this before, that many people will say, well, what do you mean incorporate this devotion in my life? It's a thing we do on Good Friday.
Yeah, no, it's a great thing we should do, not just in Lent, but even throughout the year. I'm going to tell a story. There was a great Jesuit priest I had a chance to live with for a number of months, and did a retreat with him, was working with him, and his name is Father John Hart, a great hero in the Church.
Oh, yeah.
And Father Hart, and I remember I would take him to his, like, doctor appointment, and on the way to the doctor, he would say, "Let's pray the Stations of the Cross." And I had prayed rosaries in the car before. I never thought of praying Stations of the Cross in the car before. And then, you know, another time I take him to the doctor appointment and we're waiting in the little lobby area. And he just says, "Let's pray Stations of the Cross." Like, and so we would pray Stations in the middle of this, like, doctor's office lobby. It was just kind of, but he did it. Like, you could tell it was just a part of his daily life. He always wanted to have the Stations. That, and that really left an impression on me. And I would say, you know, this is part of what I want to, I try to do in the pocket guide to the Stations of the Cross book that I wrote, is to give some inspiration to try to incorporate stations in our daily lives, you know, in creative ways. You know, I think, you know, maybe we say, you know, that's just something you do on Good Friday, or maybe it's just something you do on a Friday in Lent. A lot of parishes have stations on Friday in Lent. But if you look at this, it's like the marathon of all Catholic devotions. It just takes so long, and, you know, you show up and it's a big event, and, you know, say, I don't have time to get to the church. That time doesn't work in my schedule, and I don't like the fish fry anyway. And, you know, you could be like,
who doesn't like the fish fry? Come on.
It depends on the fish fry. But anyway, but some people don't say this, right? And they're just like, it's just too much. And I would say, I think it's really good if you can go and celebrate stations with your parish at least one time during Lent. I think it's a wonderful thing to do. But I wouldn't want to keep the ideal, you know, or make the let the ideal keep you from doing something really good. So if you can't get there and it just doesn't fit your time, or it just takes too long, you know, that's okay. But can you do stations on your own? You can go online right now and just look at the 14 stations. You can pray them in your home. Every Good Friday, I do this with my family. We do a little Stations of the Cross. We set up little candles, 14 candles all around the house, and we go process around and do stations in our own home. You can do that. You could do Stations of the Cross while you're on the exercise bike. Last year, not this year, but in March, I think it was March 1st of 2022, on my podcast, I did an audio version of Stations of the Cross that you can listen to in the car. You know how people do audio rosaries where they'll listen to like the rosary while they're praying? I did a version that's a short, like 17-minute thing that you can pray the stations, very short, but you can do it while you're running errands. You can do it while you're driving to work. You can do it when you're going for a walk. As I mentioned, I pray stations while I'm walking through an airport. Now, I don't stop and pause and then, you know, genuflect at every gate or something. You know, I'm not, but I'm praying with my heart as I move along. Here's something, Si, I just did recently. I've never done this one before, but at the beginning of Lent, the first week of Lent, I had a dentist appointment. And so you know how when you're at the dentist and like they're opening your mouth is open and they ask you a question and like,
yes.
You can't answer. Why do you bother asking me? I can't answer. So I just decided I'm going to pray Stations of the Cross during this dentist appointment. There's a lot of parallels, you know, and it was so funny. Jesus was nailed to the cross. I kid you not. As soon as in my head I said, you know, Jesus nailed to the cross, all of a sudden, ow, and this blood shoots out of my gums. There you go. I'm living the stations, you know. So I just share some story of examples, like whether it's listening to an audio station of the cross, like I did on my podcast, or just if you are able to memorize the stations, then it's easy to just bring it up when you're going for a run, you're on the exercise bike, you're driving, you're in between meetings. It's a great thing to do. And I think because it's not just a Lenten thing, the message that God is revealing to us in each station is like a window into the heart of Jesus, his love for us. You know, and it's a different angle. Everyone is like, you see something when he's comforting the women of Jerusalem. You see something else when he's beating his mother. You see something else when he falls. You see something else when he's stripped of his garments. And there's practical things you can draw for your own life. You get, you know, when you think about, okay, Jesus stripped of his garments. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm feeling like I just lost something. Maybe I lost a relationship, or I lost a promotion, you know, or I lost an opportunity, you know, there's something I really wanted and it didn't work out. I can unite that into that story of what happened with Jesus. Or when I see Jesus condemned, you know, you think about it, he's the most innocent person in the universe and he's condemned. And you can enter into the story and go, you know, there's times in my life where I feel like I'm misunderstood. I feel like maybe someone, you know, doesn't appreciate me or doesn't, you know, falsely accused me of something. That could be one of my kids. It could be my wife. It could be my boss. These are the real moments in our daily life that Jesus wants to meet us. And if we can see little crosses that we experience in our daily lives in light of Jesus's passion story, we can encounter Jesus better there and then grow in greater love.
That's wonderful. It's just wonderful stuff. 888-318-7884 is the number. And the Stations of the Cross, such a practical way to get in the habit of that identification of my life, of each moment of my life, with the moments of Jesus's life, particularly the moments of his passion. There's a ton of people on the line for you. I think I'm heading to the phones.
Okay, great.
All right, Peg in Kentucky, listening on Sacred Heart Radio. Peg, we're glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for Dr. Edward Sree.
First of all, I was wondering, that audio version that you made of the stations, is that, can you buy that?
Oh, no.
For your car?
You can't buy it because it's free. It's just a free gift to you and anyone around the world that wants to listen to it. Yeah, it's just, it's on my podcast called All Things Catholic with Edward Sree. If you just went to whatever, you know, Apple Podcast or Spotify, whatever you use, and you type in my name, you have to put in my full name. If you just type in Sree, you'll get an Indian Hindu guru, and that's not me. You have to put in Edward. And you can find it. It was March 1st, 2022. And it's just there. I just did it because I was thinking about stations a lot, and I thought this would be helpful for people. And I've gotten a lot of feedback. So it's not for sale. It's just a free gift.
Okay, well, that's wonderful. And then I think of this. I just want to say I think of the stations of the cross during when I swim. That's helpful to me. But I also came across, which I found refreshing. Well, first of all, I didn't know about Pope Paul. The second version, the biblical ones, they sound wonderful. And then I'd like to investigate those. But I came across the risen stations, the stations about the resurrection. I don't know. They were in a Magnificat that I got, I think. You know, it might be a couple years ago now. And it was about, you know, Christ meeting the apostles on the way to Emmaus, forgiving Peter, confronting Timothy. Did you ever hear of those?
You know, I do. I think it was in Magnificat. I think that might be where I heard it. These are not, I want to be clear, there's the 14 traditional stations, the one we have in our churches. Those are the ones that are held up the highest by the Catholic Church. Those are the ones that need to be in every church. This is what we're called to reflect on, and this is, you know, I would say that's the highest level. I think the biblical stations are pretty high, close second place, because, you know, it came from St. John Paul II, and there's a strong tradition on those. But I want to be clear. I think you could, you know, come up with different, you know, aspects of Jesus's life and do little stations. The word station, you know, is from the word statio. You think about, you know, a station, like a train station. What are you doing at a train station? You're at the platform. You're waiting for the train to come. So you get on the train, and then you go to the next station. And then it stops. You know, you wait a little bit. Then you go on to the next station. Well, the idea is what we're doing is we're stopping. You think about the whole mystery of Christ's life, particularly his passion. There's so much there. You know, and you can't contemplate it all. You can't do Lectio Divina in one prayer sitting and get the whole of Christ's passion. So it's beautiful that the church breaks it up into smaller bite-sized pieces, if you will. And we have a little statio. We stop. We think about Jesus is condemned. Okay, now we move, when we go, when we stop, and it's in the next statio, the next station, and we're going to think about, okay, Jesus taking his cross. And then, so we're taking different aspects of Christ's life. And so the 14 traditional stations are the ones that get us into the passion of Christ the most. What you're referring to is, hey, we're going to take that same idea, and let's, you know, in the Easter season, maybe we can contemplate the mystery of the resurrection this way. And so I think that, you know, you'll see a lot of people creatively do that. You could do it at Christmas time for the nativity of Christ, I'm sure. So, but the 14 traditional ones are the ones held up the most.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, yes. Peg. Thank you very, very much. On we go, David in Northville, Michigan, listening to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. David, glad you're here. Go ahead with your question.
I will. Dr. Edward Sree, it's a thrill to be talking to you. I've read many of your books, but I cannot keep up with your prolific publishing. So I may have missed something along the way there. I wanted to ask more of a historic question about Stations of the Cross. Could you enlighten us on when did that first come about? Was that something from the early church and the early church fathers, or is this a really recent development to walk through Stations of the Cross?
Oh, no. In some ways, this is why I'm so passionate about the stations. We need to rekindle our devotion to the stations and pass it on to the next generation. I'm concerned that the younger generation doesn't know as much about the stations, or maybe they heard of it, but they're not drawn to it. This is so important. Do you know why? Because this is the earliest, and I would argue the most important of all the devotions. And so, you know, I think of the Rosary, and I've written a lot about the Rosary, and Our Lady talks about how important the Rosary is. But I think Our Lady herself would say, you know, she would always be pointing to Jesus. And the stations are held up by the church in a high level. But it's the earliest of devotions. On one sense, you could go all the way back to, it's what the women did on Easter Sunday. They went to the tomb. They wanted to remember where Jesus was buried. They go right there. But we know we have evidence in the first couple centuries of Christianity in Jerusalem that they would be going and retracing the steps of Jesus, certainly going to remember his tomb and where he was buried, where he died, and where he rose. But they also knew the sacred spots of these other places where his passion unfolded. And so we have writings all the way already in the 300s AD where we hear about how the bishop in Jerusalem would have the people go to the Mount of Olives. And at the Garden of Gethsemane, they'd be praying and remembering Christ's passion, and they're retracing the steps. It's the earliest of those devotions. We see it there, and we want to keep walking in those footsteps too.
David, thank you so much for the question. You can probably hear the music. That means we got to take a break, but we'll be right back with more Dr. Edward Sree on the Stations of the Cross on Catholic Answers Live.
Want to know more about the origins of the Catholic Church? Joe Heschmeyer explores the beginnings of Christianity in The Early Church Was the Catholic Church. Joe digs deep into the words and actions of those who lived right after the apostles to refute anti-Catholic claims of how the faith was lived back then. Order your copy of The Early Church Was the Catholic Church today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
As Catholic apologetics have gotten stronger, Protestant responses have gotten stronger as well. And now they have their own answers to rebut the standard Catholic proofs. Don't fret, we've got you covered. In his new book, Meeting the Protestant Response, apologist Carlo Broussard gives well-reasoned biblical answers to Protestant comebacks. Order your copy of Meeting the Protestant Response today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
If you're not a Bible scholar, the full message of how the Sunday Mass readings fit together can be tough to comprehend. Apologist Carlo Broussard is here to help. Join Carlo every Friday for the Sunday Catholic Word Podcast. In each episode, he unpacks the scripture readings for that Sunday and brings them all together so you can better understand and defend the faith. Visit SundayCatholicWord.com to subscribe. That's SundayCatholicWord.com.
What if the voice of your deepest doubts about Catholicism rose up in the form of a human being and challenged you to defend your most foundational beliefs? That's the task apologist Trent Horn took upon himself in his new book, Devil's Advocate, a dialogue with his own best objections against the faith that he professes and defends. You can stand up against your doubts, and Trent will show you how. Pick up your copy of Devil's Advocate today at shop.catholic.com or at a good Catholic bookstore near you. Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. So happy you are here with us. Thanks for spending the time with us. We're coming, inching closer and closer to Holy Week, the Triduum, all of that. And one of the things that is always a part of the Holy Week services in Catholic churches and in other Christian churches as well as the Stations of the Cross. But Stations of the Cross, well, you know, it's like orange juice. It's not just for breakfast anymore. It's not just for Holy Week, the Stations of the Cross. Dr. Edward Sree is our guest, and among his many published works is The Pocket Guide to the Stations of the Cross. And we're talking about incorporating the Stations of the Cross into your life. If you'd like to get involved in that conversation, 888-318-7884. But we had to cut you off in the middle of a fascinating answer to the origins of the Stations of the Cross, and about even in the very earliest church, the walking to remember the life of Jesus and the passion of Jesus. But I'd like it if you'd continue with that. I'd like to know more about the origins of the Stations of the Cross.
Yeah, I was mentioning there in the 300s AD, there was a pilgrim that came to Jerusalem and gave an account of her experience there. And it was mentioned that the Bishop of Jerusalem would gather the people at the Mount of Olives, where the Garden of Gethsemane was, and they would be reflecting on what happened there at the beginning of the Passion. And it was commented that you could hear the people, they would be praying, but you'd also hear them in tears, you know, remembering Jesus's passion. All the way across in Jerusalem, you could hear the tears and the cries of people on the Mount of Olives. And then they would go across the Kidron Valley, enter the city, and they would retrace the steps of Jesus's passion. And that was happening already in the 300s. St. Jerome mentions this and others as well. I think what happens is you have, with the liberation of Christianity under Constantine in the 300s, you have pilgrims all over Europe now coming to Jerusalem, and they're wanting to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. And then you see people like St. Francis during, you know, the period of the Crusades wanting to come, and he ends up coming, you know, here. So there was this desire to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. But after a while, in the later medieval period, it becomes unsafe to come here. Because it's run by Muslims, and there was just too much tension, and it wasn't as easy to travel there. And so what the church started developing was people who had come to Jerusalem knew about the tradition, and they say, hey, maybe can we build something in Europe, build something in our own little local community? And they built little stations, little shrines, if you will, outdoors. And you start seeing these popping up around Europe. And then eventually the church, I think it's in the 1500s, 1600s, they end up saying, you know, let's make sure every Catholic church has stations in it. So the roots go all the way back to the early church in Jerusalem, and pilgrims around the world wanting to walk in those footsteps. And so that's why I think it's such an important devotion for us to just know for almost 2,000 years, Christians have been wanting to always be remembering the story of Christ's passion in this very practical way. So important devotion. Let's make sure it's passed on to the next generation.
The way you describe it too, it's so Catholic in that it's multi-sensory. Our worship and remembering is not just a mental activity. It involves, like, they made physical places that you could walk from spot to spot and remember even physically in the walking.
Yeah, no, I think that's why it's a spiritual exercise, stations is, but it is also a physical exercise, you know, and by getting up and moving our bodies and genuflecting. Again, if you're at home and you're driving in your car, you can't do that. That's okay. But I think in its fullest form, to have that movement,
yeah,
and to have that, you know, genuflection, you're kneeling with Jesus. It's a beautiful thing.
Carol in New Hudson, Michigan, listening on WDEO. We're glad you're here, Carol. Go ahead with your question for Dr. Edward Sree.
Well, I actually have a comment. Hi, Dr. Sree. My husband was diagnosed with cancer about 7 years ago, mm-hmm. and he died a year later. And having also worked with Father Hardin, it was amazing that having meditated on the stations daily for probably about 20 years at that point, as I was taking a walk and my husband was at home, I realized how much saying those daily helped us imitate our Lord's passion and death, and mm-hmm. how he preached the Beatitudes and then he lived them with his gentleness and his meekness. And it was just such a wonderful experience, and I still say them daily, and you can get a plenary indulgence every day you say them if you fulfill the requirements. And it's just, it's good. Ted, my girls were the Fatima girls. So I don't know if you remember them or not.
Yes.
But anyway.
Oh, I know this, Carol. Yes, hi, Carol. I'm so sorry about your husband passing. Yeah.
It was a beautiful year. I mean, his faith was so strong. His first reaction at the diagnosis was excitement that he could deal, you know, he could die a holy death. He just gave a beautiful example, and he had a wonderful holy death, just what he wanted. So, but it's just that the stations, they don't bring out a horror. They bring out a love and a generosity and a willingness to sacrifice all that you can for someone who sacrificed all that he did for us.
Amen. Amen. And I think that's the other thing is, you know, I say to the young people that I'm working with in Focus, like, what is it that we fill our minds with? You know, are we filling our minds with just sports or Netflix or social media or some goofy YouTube video? And I want to be clear, I watch sports and I'll watch a YouTube video, and these, okay, they're not bad in themselves necessarily. There's some that are bad, of course, but in proportion, am I trying to fill my mind with the Word of God? Am I filling it with the stories of the saints, or in this case, the climax of salvation history, the fullest of God's revelation of love? And if I'm doing that on a regular basis, that's, you know, what I put in my mind, what I put in my memory is what I have to draw upon when I face my own trials and crisis. And so I'll say to young people, like, you know, you can fill your mind with just goofy YouTube videos, you know, that are just funny. And if you do a lot of that, but you don't in proportion fill your mind as much with the gospel, what are you going to draw upon when you're lonely? When you're lonely, you know, that little meme or that little graphic or that little video of a joke from Michael Scott or something is not going to help you when you're feeling very lonely. It's not going to help you when you're experiencing suffering. And so St. Paul says, especially when we're living in a non-Christian culture, that we have to renew our minds with the gospel. So if we don't want to be conformed to the world around us, we have to renew our minds. And what we put in our minds really matters. And so I'm edified, sad to hear the story of your husband's passing, but edified to hear that he had been putting in his mind the story of the cross, and you as well. And then you never know when you're going to need to draw upon that. And in the time of crisis, you know, if all he had was, you know, the Detroit Lions, you know, in his head, well, that would be hard for anybody, I think, because the Lions always struggle. But besides that, like that's not what's going to help. You know, in the moment of trial, what's really going to help is I've been reflecting on the passion of Jesus. And so right now, store up in your memory what you need for whatever you might face right now, but not just now, but for the future. And it's not just for you. It's also the more you're meditating on the stations, the more you'll have to give to others who are suffering. So for the sake of loving others and helping others in the midst of their crosses, fill your mind with the stations of the cross. Because you can be a greater gift to others in their time of trial.
Thank you, Carol, for the call.
Thank you.
We're talking about the Stations of the Cross. Dr. Edward Sree is our guest, and we go to Pennsylvania now. John, listening on Holy Spirit Radio. John, thank you for the call. Go ahead with your question for Dr. Sree.
Good evening, gentlemen. My question is, when our Lord was whipped at the post, when he was scourged, was that always a part of crucifixion, or was that something he did particularly just to our Lord?
Great question. And again, what's fascinating is that this actual scene of the scourging is the sixth station of the biblical stations of the cross. You know, so it's good to reflect on here. I would say this, that oftentimes that's what crucifixion was for. I'm sorry, that's what scourging was for. It was a prelude for a crucifixion. And what you would do is you would scourge, it's like you're getting the body ready to be killed. And so you can also use the scourging to different degrees. You could give a light scourging, or you could give a very severe, heavy scourging. And the more severe it was, the shorter the crucifixion was going to be. The lighter it was, the longer the crucifixion would be. What kind of scourging did Jesus get? You probably saw the film from Mel Gibson, The Passion of the Christ. I thought the scourging might have been the hardest part of the whole movie, you know, even more than the crucifixion. It was just like they're going over and over and over. And then all of a sudden they turn them over and you're like, oh, they can't do more. And some people were like freaked out by that. Oh, that's just too much. But I would say on what we know historically, that's probably what happened, because Jesus got the most severe kind of scourging. And we know that because most crucifixions would last maybe 2 days, maybe even up to 3 days. It took a long time for the person to die, eventually of asphyxiation, lungs collapsing and all. But it usually took 2 or 3 days. The fact that Jesus's crucifixion, according to Mark's gospel, only lasted 6 hours, that's a super fast crucifixion. That tells us that when they were done with the scourging, he was already practically dead. And so he got the most severe kind. So this wasn't just for Jesus. This was common. I don't want to say it was like every crucifixion had a scourging before, but it was common that you would use a scourging as a prelude to a crucifixion.
Okay. It reminds me of a book I read years ago called The Doctor on Calvary, and it describes some of the physical things that our Lord went through during the crucifixion. Was that accurate or not?
I haven't read the book. I've heard the book. I've never read it myself, but I would trust most of the science there. I more than I would trust myself as a doctor. I'm not that kind of a doctor, so I can't weigh in all of it.
He's a doctor of theology. John, thank you very much for the call. We got a couple lines open, and we can get you in if you'd like to call, but we do have to take a break. Well, Aaron in Michigan will come right back to you when we come back. The number is 888-318-7884. We're talking about the Stations of the Cross with Dr. Edward Sri on Catholic Answers Live.
It's all about the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Hi, friends. Jonet Williams here. Join me every Wednesday on Women of Grace Live as I welcome New Age researcher and blogger for Women of Grace, Sue Brinkman. Sue and I will be talking about all the wacky things that could distract you from your faith. Psychics, yoga, Reiki, crystals, acupuncture, Ouija boards, tarot cards, and astral traveling are just a few of the stranger things we discuss. That's why we call it Wacky Wednesday. So join us every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Do you love sharing the gospel and want to learn to be more effective? Join the St. Paul Street Evangelization Online School of Evangelization. You will learn to build bridges of trust and make disciples by befriending strangers, proclaiming the gospel, inviting people to the church, and praying with others. We'll ask for a pledge of financial support, but if you are unable to give, we'll give you a membership at no cost. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Dr. Edward Sri, not apparently a fan of the Detroit Lions, but a big proponent of the of the.
I feel sorry for them. I would love to see them win a Super Bowl someday. I mean, look, I'm a Cubs fan at heart, right? So that means, as a Cubs fan, that's just, I always root for the underdogs, the teams that suffer. So I would love to see Detroit win a Super Bowl. It would be awesome. I just feel for them.
I don't want to mean to give you a bad rep in Detroit, Michigan. The number is 888-318-7884. If you'd like to talk with Dr. Sri about the Stations of the Cross, the book that we were discussing and that we take our topic from is his book, The Pocket Guide to the Stations of the Cross. Dr. Sri, the author of a whole bunch of books and also the producer of some wonderful media, some of which you can catch right now on the EWTN Global Catholic Television Network. His work on No Greater Love, A Biblical Walk Through Christ's Passion. This is a good time to reflect on the Stations of the Cross because we will be liturgically we'll be doing celebrating the Stations of the Cross on Good Friday. But anytime, I think this is Dr. Sri's point, anytime is a good time for the Stations of the Cross. You don't have to wait for Lent. This is a way of identifying with and drawing close to Christ in his moment of complete and utter devotion to the love that he came to share, the perfect opening of the revelation of God, where we can see the depths of his love in his passion. You find all of that in the Stations of the Cross. If you'd like to talk about it, give us a call, 888-318-7884. Aaron in Michigan is next. Aaron watching on YouTube. Hi, Aaron. Go ahead with your question for Dr. Sri.
Hi. So I was never really taught about Stations of the Cross as a child, and I'm sorry if you've already covered this, but at church they've been calling for people to lead the Stations of the Cross. I'm just not sure what that involves. Is there something specific that you read? Are you winging it with your own meditations? What happens?
Well, I don't know about. Yeah, I don't know about your particular parish, but most parishes, what they do is they have some little booklet that has reflections that are on the Stations of the Cross. And like John Paul II has written many, usually the popes will lead people to Stations of the Cross on Good Friday, and then those become published. So you can go online and find millions of reflections on them. But there's a number that are used, different publishers have them in parishes. That's actually part of what I wrote here, was a version of the Stations of the Cross that you can use at a parish or use your own private devotion. But when they're asking for, you know, somebody, hey, could somebody help lead them? I'm going to guess that what they're doing is saying, hey, would you be willing to read one of the reflections? And so if you ever, you should just go. It'd be a great experience just to go experience stations at your parish. And what you'll see is normally it's the priest that is leading. And what they do is the priest may be, you know, he may have two altar servers with him carrying candles, maybe not. I don't, you know, every parish is a little bit different, but they usually have one that's carrying the cross. And they go from one of the, there's stations inside your church at, you know, that are marked. Maybe it's just a Roman numeral. Oftentimes there's like a statue depicting it, or it's in relief, or it's in a stained glass window, but there's usually something that's there, and you move from each of those little markers. And when you go to the first one, the traditional prayer is to say, we adore you, O Christ, and we praise you. And then the people respond, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world. This is a traditional response there. And then as you say those words, you genuflect, and then you stand up again, and then the priest will do a short little reflection. It's usually he's just reading maybe a few sentences. And then the people have a prayer that they pray in response in order to kind of enter into each station. So that's typically, and you will go around all, there's 14 of these stations, 14 of these reflections of different moments in Christ's passion. And the priest is processing around the church. If it's a small group, the whole pair, you know, that small group might process with the priest. Usually there's a lot of people that are coming there, and all the people are staying in the pew, and it's just the priest and maybe a handful of others that are walking around doing it. But sometimes the priest might say, hey, I would like some of the lay people to help read the reflections. And that's certainly okay.
Okay, Aaron?
Oh, yes. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much. Are they doing the stations every week in your parish, or just for Lent?
It's just through the Lenten season.
I gotcha. Okay. Again, the number 888-318-7884, Dr. Edward Sri, our guest. We're talking about the Stations of the Cross, the Pocket Guide to the Stations of the Cross is his book in this regard. Just a little book that will help you, that will expose you to a devotion that is sometimes reserved unnecessarily for just the Lenten season. He says in the book, the way of the cross is the way of love. It's a devotion of love more than anything, Dr. Sri.
That's absolutely what this is all about. It is a devotion of love. It's God's love, as made manifest in the most beautiful way in the Passion. But Jesus wants us to encounter him in each of those moments so that we can love like he loves and experience his love. So that's really, I like to think of them, I think I said it earlier in the show, like little windows into the heart of Jesus. And there's that heart is so big, I can't take it in all at once. And so it's good to just reflect on small things like the glance of Jesus, or Jesus falling, Jesus saying, Father, forgive them. They know what they do. You know, every little detail of the Passion is just so beautiful. And I'm so thankful the church has this devotion to help break it up a little bit, to contemplate it anew.
Is it something that can be done as a family, for example, like the rosary? Often we have the family rosary, that kind of thing. But does the stations lend itself to family prayer?
Oh, I think so. I think in some ways it might be easier than the rosary because, you know, it's hard for little kids to sit still. If you move around the house,
right.
You know, now they may go around, and my kids will do this, you know, and I have to kind of keep them in serious mode and work with them and all. But they love it. Like when we go and like we turn off all the lights, and again we have like little candles we place at all the different spots around the house, and we move around and we pray. Like last year we actually did Dad's version. They thought that was kind of interesting. you can do short versions. You know, sometimes you can just say the station name and maybe just, you know, pause a moment. You're not required to use a book. You can just go through the stations, and if you reflect on it and say a short prayer, that's enough. So you don't have to use something formal. You'll hear, if those that do the audio version that I did on my podcast, they're very short reflections, just very short. Something to think about. I pause and I say Hail Mary, and then we move to the next station. So I'd rather have us all do the stations more than like we just only do it once a year, or this big long affair, and we're like, oh, I'm glad that's done. You know, I'd rather have it be short and easy that we could do and do more often, and then have those special times too. But let's bring it into the rhythm of our spiritual lives more.
Again, the number 888-318-7884. By the way, excuse me, I don't know why I get the phone number wrong. 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. So as to the particular stations, we're often confronted with the idea that, well, we get calls on this here at Catholic Answers. There is no biblical evidence that Jesus fell three times, for example. So why do you Catholics do this, Jesus falling three times in your Stations of the Cross?
Well, I would just go back and say, what devotion do you have that helps you to meditate upon the mysteries of Christ's passion? We at least are doing something. Was it three? We're not saying it was exactly three, you know, but I would also ask the question, do you believe Jesus fell? Don't you think he fell? If he was so scourged, so beaten, he surely fell many times, I'm sure. You know, I think we highlight three times because it makes sense, because there's the threefold fall of humanity. You know, humanity fell in a threefold way. It has a threefold wound. You know, it's the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. The scriptures reveal that to us. And so I like to think about each of those falls, and I contemplate, like, you know, in one of the falls, I contemplate pride. Like, my pride makes Jesus have to carry a heavier burden. When I don't control my imagination and I fall into impure, lustful thoughts, the lust of the flesh, I'm adding a burden to Jesus in what he's carrying on Good Friday. When I am too covetous of my possessions, you know, and I just want these goods and comforts of this world, I'm adding to Jesus's burden. I think it's, you know, I think it's beautiful that we're reflecting on the three falls of Jesus. No one's saying it was only three and it had to be exactly three, but we're taking, you know, three moments. Surely he probably fell many times, but we're going to reflect on those three in connection to the threefold wound of our human nature because of original sin, and that threefold wound is clearly revealed in sacred scripture.
So when you have done the Stations of the Cross, when you've like actually been to the Holy Land, been to Jerusalem, like you talked about the Garden at Gethsemane and all of that. For example, you must have walked the very distance that Christ himself walked from where he's scourged to where ultimately he's crucified. Does the physical reality of Jerusalem itself and of his footsteps were here change your own personal relationship to the stations?
Oh, it's very profound. You know, there've been different traditions about where was the exact pathway, you know, but certainly the closer you get to Calvary, the more you are really walking in the original steps we know for certainty. But no matter what, I mean, just you're walking through the streets of Jerusalem. God, the God of the universe, walked these streets. You know, that's for sure, and that's moving. And he did walk these streets on his way to Calvary, you know, and it's so moving. I find myself very moved, like, you know, and in the EWTN series that's going to start airing here on the No Greater Love, like, we begin in the Garden of Gethsemane. And there in Gethsemane, you can touch these olive trees whose root systems go all the way back to the very first century. So we know when you touch these olive trees, you're touching something from the time of Christ. I mean, it's very moving to go, wow. And then you can go to the rock that's traditionally believed to be where he agonized in this garden. And he sweat drops of blood. And he did it for me. And he did it right here. It is incredibly moving to be in the very places where the God of the universe himself dwelt, taught, healed, prayed, and in this case, suffered and died for me. I take pilgrims to Israel all the time, and, you know, but when I see the pilgrims who are going for the first time and they touch the rock of Calvary, you know, many of them just are bawling afterwards.
Sure.
Understandable. You know, this is where it all happened. It's real. It makes it so real. God was here. He dwelt right here. We may not be able to go all the way to Israel, but we can reflect in our mind and in our heart on Christ's passion through this gift of Stations of the Cross. And we could do that anywhere and anytime.
What a beautiful tradition we have, and it's worth promoting. Dr. Edward Sree has been our guest, and very simply, Pocket Guide to the Stations of the Cross. You can get it wherever you get Catholic books, or you can check out the podcast. Give us the name of the podcast again so that people can listen to your Stations of the Cross.
Yeah, you can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever. All Things Catholic with Edward Sree. That's my podcast. Comes out every Tuesday. Edward S-R-I. You just search for my name, for first and second name, Edward S-R-I. You'll find my podcast. You can subscribe and get those audio Stations of the Cross for free.
Dr. Edward Sree has been our guest. Thank you so much, Dr. Sree. It's always a great pleasure to have you here. That does it for us. We'll see you tomorrow, God willing.